Okay, is there any other questions or comments on the motion before us to hold? Councilman Howe.
Could I ask for clarity? I understand that Councilman Ricks is challenging the fact that we're having a meeting without a legal representation from RIAC here.
There are myriad ambiguities that are being addressed that is, or that have presented, that is one of them. So I would.
So could I ask that we elaborate on a couple more? Like, what are the other ones? I understand that one.
I'm happy to discuss. I don't think it's appropriate at this time. I think that is a legitimate one, and there are additional questions that have been raised, one of which would be compliance with the ordinance 113, I believe, regarding the protocols for the appraisal itself. So that would be another one.
Okay, Mr. President, may I through the chair or through you, Mr. President, ask Mr. Kravitz, planning director, a question?
Thank you.
Mr. Kravitz, this went through all the necessary procedures to get to this point?
Correct.
In the planning department?
Right.
And the recommendation by the planning department and all the procedures were?
The planning board made the positive.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm being advised that we can only discuss the motion that's before us. We're not in discussion on
the motion to hold, Mr. President?
Correct.
And that's what I'm getting to. So the city, Mr. President, has a process and procedure to ensure that there are numerous check marks on the paper done, and the city did that. And I understand what Councilman Ricks brought up, but it seems to me that this was a meeting of, like, to the point where even Councilman Sinapi was like, kind of, I hate to say it like this, we had public comment, and then all of a sudden it's like, please, anybody, please, please, anybody. I'm a little baffled by all of a sudden now we have a myriad of issues where I understand Councilman Ricks's comment, but as far as I'm concerned, and I'm stickler for procedure was followed. So that's my, we're going into this vote, and I'm just confused. I'm just trying to figure out what the procedure within the city was done. We had this meeting. Councilman Ricks brings up something that's a valid question, and it just seems to have snowballed. And that's all. I'm just confused on that part, because I think it's also fair for the citizens to know what those issues are, but also for the people seeking the abatements and the people that I have to answer to in my neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any more questions or comments just on the motion to hold?
Move the vote.
Was that, I just like the last shot. Second. Is anyone? We got a second on move.
I'm not trying to second.
No further discussion.
Okay, there's no further discussion then. So the clerk will call the roll for favorable action to continue this into motion to hold to September 4th, the next meeting. Favorable action is yes to hold. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
5 yes, 4 no to hold.
Okay, the motion to hold passes. At this time, I would request a 5-minute recess. We still have a number of things to complete this evening. We have to go back into committees, and I thank the members of the public who have been waiting for those issues. We will be back here in 5 minutes. We are going to start, go back into the ordinance committee before finance and public safety, because I believe there's individuals here that are just here for land use. Thank you. So we're going to do land use now, because we have individuals that have been waiting here for the one item on there. So if we can have the land use committee meet.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs reconvenes at 9:46 p.m. We have one item left on the agenda. This is PCR 65-24, a resolution authorizing the mayor to execute an avigation easement to the Rhode Island Airport Corporation on property known as Zero Lydic Avenue, that is Assessor's Plat 3123, Lot 141, in exchange for just compensation. Let's see. On this item, I don't actually see on the agenda who the sponsor would be. I believe that Lydic Ave, it is in Ward 2. Oh, I see. I may split Lydic Ave with Councilman Howe. So we do see Councilman Howe's name on the recommendation. Do you have a recommendation as to the avigation easement to the Rhode Island Airport Corporation on or affecting Lydic Avenue?
I would say positive, favorable action.
All right. Let's see. Do we have anyone here to present this from the city?
Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director. This avigation easement is being pursued by RIAC to cut trees to keep the trees at a low height for flight approach and takeoff. It's there's been several of them in the past, just since my time here, going back 3 years, and we followed the same procedure as we'd previously done. You know, answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Yeah, it seems that who knows, maybe way back when they just clear cut the area, and perhaps it's taken this long for the trees to grow to those kinds of heights. But I know that Lydic Avenue has been there for many, many ages, probably predating the modern airport corporation. So yeah, just for the public's benefit, this is strictly for the purpose of trimming those trees, making sure that they don't rise to that height or otherwise interfere with the airplane's ability to, well, as to that location as of right now, their ability to land, because at least under the current configuration, airplanes are not taking off that direction. They're landing that direction. But regardless, the easement is for the purpose of takeoff or landing, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any comments, members of this committee? Any comments, members of the council? Any comment, members of the public? All right. Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs adjourns at 9:50 p.m.
Thank you, Chairman. We'll do Intergovernmental Committee next. I apologize. I thought the residents were here for that, but I believe some people are here for the Intergovernmental Committee. So if we could call that meeting at this time.
It is now 9:51, and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. First order of business is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on June 3rd, 2024. Do I hear a motion?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye. Aye. The first item on the calendar is PCR 70-24, a resolution in support of the City of Warwick local multi-hazard mitigation plan. Council President McAllister.
Thank you. I documented this on behalf of the administration, and I believe the planning director is here to speak on behalf.
Hi, Tom Kravitz, city planning director. Sean Henry of the planning department shepherded this project, and we, the city, hired a consultant from VHB, Carissa Mills. They're both here, so I'd like to ask them to come down, and Carissa can give you a very brief overview and answer any questions you may have.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. My name is Carissa Mills. I work for VHB. I'm also a Warwick resident, so I've learned a lot tonight. Just to give you a heads up, the city is updating their hazard mitigation plan. This is looking at natural hazards, your hurricanes, your flooding, etc. There's a copy that was filed for this evening. This process started back in 2023. We've had 13 members of the Hazard Mitigation Plan Committee. We looked at vulnerable assets throughout the city, your flood-prone neighborhoods, your streets, your wastewater supply, your water supply system, wastewater infrastructure, et cetera. And we looked at a variety of capabilities that the city already has. This is a prescribed plan as per the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and it goes through state review. So it's going to cover a lot of different things. But the meat of this plan is to look at a variety of mitigation actions to help the city reduce their risks and protect the public from these natural hazards that have been identified by the committee. There were 22 actions in there. Some are already underway, which will be good because this plan has to be reviewed every year and it has to be updated every 5 years. So we like to have things in there to show the federal government that the city is making progress on these actions. What we are asking for tonight via the resolution is approval by the council to send the plan up to the state for review and to FEMA for their review. They will likely have some editorial comments, enhance certain sections. And then the next phase will be to make those edits as per public comment, as per the state, as per FEMA. And then once FEMA agrees to a plan that we have submitted up to them, they will send a letter to the mayor, I believe, and possibly the planning department saying that it's approval pending adoption, which means the planning department will be in front of you again saying, do you approve this plan? That is not a time for discussion. That is for tonight. And so you will see this plan come to you again for formal adoption. Once it's adopted, it's good for 5 years. By having this plan, not only are you reducing the risks from these hazards if the actions are implemented, but it also qualifies the city to apply for annual FEMA funding. So that's usually a good benefit as well. And I'm also here if anyone has any questions regarding the plan or the process or anything like that. Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions or comments from the public?
Right here. Hi, folks. Barbara Walsh, Ward 2. I have a question about whether you would delay your approval of this plan, sending it to the mayor for another 2 weeks. And I want to raise one issue about advertising, which is why I'm here tonight, because that then generated my knowledge of seeing this last night. And I spent a couple of hours perusing it and could barely get through it. As you know, it's a very long document. But the way it was advertised to the public, I know you might say, well, it was advertised, people could comment, blah, blah, blah. Well, it wasn't advertised to some types of people like myself. I don't use social media at all. I don't use a computer at all. Some of you may or may not know I am totally blind. I don't see anything. So I don't see any notices that are put up in the traditional places. And once material comes to me, it's very hard to spend a couple hours reviewing it. I'm extremely lucky my husband tolerates reading a lot of these things to me. And he's here tonight with some notes because I'm not able to take notes either. So everything I'm going to say is from memory and it will not be exact. I apologize for anything I may misspeak, but that's what happens when you keep your whole world in your head and you don't have any other guiding methods to help you remember. So he's going to help me with some of the notes I asked him to take for me. The other issue is there are ways to advertise to disabled people and seniors who may not be as technologically astute as most people. And I have two suggestions for that that I will raise later because they're not as pertinent, but they're the underlying reasons why I had no knowledge that this study, report, review was being undertaken. None. No knowledge of it whatsoever. So I want to raise a couple concerns and hope that if you find them to be legitimate or credible, at least to the degree that I have a chance to share some other thoughts with whomever, Mr. Kravitz, I assume, I'm deferring to him as kind of a lead in this process, that maybe I can get a couple weeks to raise the issues that I'd like to raise. And I want to start with one that's concrete for me, the animal shelter. The animal shelter is a love of mine. I've been a volunteer there for the city for 30 or 40 years. So I was around when it flooded 10, 12 years ago, and I was part of the mad dash to get those animals out of there in a two-hour window. It was an awful process, and the way it's addressed in this plan is simply one sentence that says the animals will be evacuated to the Thayer Rink. But it doesn't say anything at all about how they get there. It doesn't say that there are only two, occasionally three people working in that shelter, and they have no vehicles by which to transfer animals and cages and crates. When it happened 10, 12 years ago, there was a lot of cooperation from other city agencies and departments. A really wonderful guy from the sewer authority ran over, the police department helped, the animal control offices came over, public works came over. They all had vehicles such that they could transfer about 20 dogs in cages, and volunteers rushed in to take out about 30 cats. So all of the animals, all of their different foods and medications, all has to, you know, go to another site, and you can't just jam them all together because there are risk factors with aggression increasing in animals under stress. With two staff people, the only reason it happened was because the executive director of the shelter is absolutely terrific. Ann Corvin is the best of the best, and she made it happen. But that shelter flooded to its ceiling. If she didn't get those animals out of there, they would have drowned sitting in confined spaces and cages, and it would have been an outrage by the public. It would have been horrific. But she did manage it, and it all happened. But there's nothing in this study that says there should be a formal line of communication and a clear delineation of who in the police department, public works, et cetera, will be there to help move those animals in a similar case. I'm not suggesting there's a structural problem with the building. I don't think there is. But there is. This is a plan. I mean, we're supposed to be planning for things that aren't you know, likely, but they do happen, and they may happen occasionally and never again, but they're dire when they happen. That's the point of a plan. I believe in planning. I believe in the planning department and all the work that went into this, but I'd like to see something formalized that the shelter staff can call A, B, C, and D to help them transport those animals out of there so they're not making 20 phone calls in the middle of a crisis. There's also a very interesting omission in the list of agencies where throughout this whole report, there's a thread of consolidation, cooperation, communication between and amongst offices. The animal shelter isn't even listed in the list of agencies in that long litany of offices and agencies listed. They don't even show up. Okay. Now, once they get to Thayer Arena, which is run by the Parks Department isn't listed in that list of agencies either. So shouldn't they have a say about how these processes would flow? Never mind the fact that they've been listed as the morgue for the city, and maybe they should be at the top of the list for a generator in case they're needed for that purpose. But nonetheless, the building would need electricity in order to keep the animals clean, providing them water and electricity to clean the cages, etc. So I don't know if it says anywhere in there about a generator for the Thayer Arena, but it should. It should also list Parks and Recreation and the animal shelter in the list of agencies where it currently does not. Another thing I didn't find, again, in going through it for a couple of hours, so it might be in there. I apologize if I misspeak here, but I don't remember reading anything about citizens who have to evacuate their homes, bringing their pets with them to city-run shelters. We all know from a lot of research, people don't often leave their homes in emergencies because they won't leave their pets behind. And then you have to, you know, like in Louisiana, pick a person with their dog off the roof or on top of a car hood. There needs to be accommodation made for the pets of people who must evacuate their own homes. And I don't remember seeing that in there either. So, animal issues? Okay. Next issue that I just want to raise is throughout the theme of this is also the need for mitigating flood issues with vegetation and green infrastructure and more trees. And I'm not seeing anywhere where there's actually any planning or budgeting put into accomplishing any of this. I know the planning department has some kind of responsibility for trees, but if we're supposed to be planting more trees, then there needs to be a bigger priority for how we do that. The Providence city has a resiliency office. We need a resiliency office. That should also be in this plan so that we're in the 21st century. We need somebody to look at the policies and practices within every city department to say, well, if we're proclaiming the need for all these trees, how are we going to get them? And, you know, maybe we don't need X in order to get Y, and help department heads kind of sort out the issues that there's no champion. There is nobody looking at spending in all of the different city offices to say, well, do you really need that? Why don't we do it this way? Do we have anybody that looks at purchasing to buy the leaf blowers that another woman tonight spoke about? Leaf blowers are a fossil fuel mess. There have been bills put into the state legislator.
Mrs. Walsh, you have 1 minute.
For several years, they haven't passed. But that doesn't mean with our bidding practices, we couldn't be buying items like that, e-vehicles, whatever, whatever. but a resiliency officer who has generalizable ability to go across city departments would be, really helpful. And I'd like to see something more proactive. On page 96, it lists the hindrances that get in the way of us doing the right things. All of those issues, I am so glad somebody had the foresight and the skill to get that section in there, because I think sometimes people don't want to hear the bad side of what we do. And all of those issues should be number one priorities throughout this report. The hindrances that get in our way are that we are reactive and not proactive. And that's true. If we're going to look at planning as a process to be proactive, we don't do it as often as we should, particularly with climate change and resiliency. The issues in that page 96 hindrances section are really important issues that should be reviewed in a way to put them at a higher priority. So I'm simply asking, give us a way to have input in the next 2 weeks and let us come back to you with a renewed approach to some of these issues that may have been neglected. And I do defer to Mr. Kravitz to evaluate some of the credibility of these issues and others. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the public?
Hi, good evening again. Hi. Michelle Comar. I was just informed that the consultant has my comments because I emailed them to the planning department. So I may not have to touch on all of them, but I had a couple of new ones. And I, like Barbara, are not a social media person. I just don't have time. So Barbara called me or sent me an email last night and said, did you see this? So I just dove into it last night in the wee hours. So I might have missed things, but I'll try to handle things. So the main issue I have here is if somebody were to pick up this document and they, you know, we all have flood warnings that we've got to evacuate, what would they be looking for? And I think the two major things are the evacuation route and where are the shelters? Where am I going? We see signs all over the place, evacuation route, but what's the destination? So I read into the report and it mentioned that Vets, it called it high school, it's now the middle school, but Vets is a designated Red Cross shelter. And Pilgrim today is a shelter as well. So my question was, what about the new schools? What about New Pilgrim and New Tollgate? Are they both going to be emergency shelters for the public? Because we've got to list those right up front in the report, where to go. And I contacted the school department and I did not get an answer on that. So I don't know if these new schools are going to be equipped to handle the public for shelter with pets, without pets, in an emergency. I was really taken aback that fire station number 4, in one of those tables, page 1, well, I won't skip the page, but station 4, it implies that they don't have a generator. A fire station doesn't have a generator backup. Now, when we have storms, everybody goes to Home Depot or scrambles to go get generators. So if we don't have one in place, my question was, how does that impact the functions, operations of Station 4, the fire department, and the citizens of Warwick? I couldn't believe there was no generator available for Station 4. And this is all contingent on future funding. Well, I wish some of those funds that we use for COVID relief went into these necessary safety issues. So WSA has 2 generators, but we need to take an assessment of all the departments and get them loaded up, all the public buildings with generators. I sent all the council people a report, memo done by Janine Burke. She was the executive director at the Sewer Authority when they had the 2010 flood. And she wrote a really good after the event, how the city responded to this natural disaster. And it was really good because she says, don't ever underestimate. People tell you it's a 500-year storm, but you better make sure it may happen. because 500-year storm is very unlikely to happen in our lifetime. Well, this was a 250-year storm with Patuxent River flooding. So she said, don't underestimate and make sure you got all your provisions set. Sometimes you won't know until it happens. For instance, the wastewater treatment plant got flooded from the Patuxent River reaching over the levee and from DOT drainage, which drained the flooded I-95 into the plant. So they got hit from both sides, which, by the way, isn't really mentioned in this report. Because we need to follow up. I think DOT fixed that situation, and of course, the levee was raised. But Janine pointed out they ran over to the animal shelter, which is nearby, and wanted their drainage plants so that they could open the drains and let the floodwaters out. And they couldn't find them. Nobody knew where they were. So that kind of hindered their recovery. So I look to you to read her memo, because it shows how everything needs to conceal together. They weren't even a member of some of the emergency groups, but they ended up being one of the main focus of the disaster area in that flood. Some of the wording in here caused concern. It's on page 114, 175 Post Road in my ward, which was a controversial industrial project. There was a table in here that said, 175 Post Road has been removed from the floodway. Tenants are aware of risk. So to me, that means they did a FEMA map amendment and drew different lines for the floodway. So I got a phone call from a couple people that have been watching that project, and the planning department answered that question. That's not what they meant, but that's what it reads. So they, I guess the developer at some point in time took the development footprint and got it out of the FEMA floodway for that project. But that's very misleading wording. The WSA, besides accurately depicting what happened during their flood event in 2010, they need to give some guidance on an option for those residents and businesses in the city that have grinder pumps. Grinder pumps are dependent on electricity. When there's no electricity in a power outage, how do people operate their wastewater, their bathrooms? And for how long, there's a little bit of storage in reserve, how long can they keep using their homes, stay in their homes, and then what happens next? In the 2010, the mayor encouraged gyms to let people come in to shower and do whatever they got to do. So that hasn't been addressed, because we're going to have a wide range. I don't know how many grinder pumps we have for private residents in the city, but I've already heard some stories about some power outages where people had buckets in their front yard. And we don't want this to happen. They need a contingency plan. The WSA needs to address this. There are three dams mentioned in the report that are privately owned. The Little Dave's Dam, where Dave's Market used to be. The report says that they don't know who the owner is. That's a high hazard dam. If it fails, there's significant loss of, I don't know, property, probable loss of life. Nobody knows who owns it. I don't think anything's done about it. Then we have Camp Warwick Pond. That's a significant hazard as well. And then a lesser one, Grist Mill Apartments, a high hazard. The report kind of indicates that nobody's really reached out significantly to these private dams. I think we need some kind of annual inspection to be done. You have to hire a consultant. There's plenty of dam consultants in the state, just to see where we stand on those that are high hazard or significant. And these are three that are mentioned in the report. Then I'm going back to my email already sent to the planning department, see if I can bring anything major up in front of you tonight. The animal shelter, Barbara mentioned, for people that are watching the Bucky Brook Phragmites removal project, This report says that 3,600 tons of debris, really wasn't debris, that kind of sounds trash floated down, it was phragmites and sediment. And it was removed in 2023, and the level of Warwick Pond dropped, doesn't say how much. That would be interesting to know, because it's kind of promoted that this was a flood mitigation project and that somehow there was a benefit here. Again, like I said, the new high schools, there's question this, and I didn't get the answers from the school department, but the report says that the new Pilgrim High School is going to be more energy efficient than the old because it's air conditioned. And I remember coming to a council meeting where the school department said, these new schools are not going to have air conditioning in the classrooms. So what I found out from the school department is that's true. No AC in the wings of the classrooms. They're going to have tempered air. And that technology is you take out the bad air, the hot air, and you draw in air from the outside, and that has to be cooled. That uses more energy. Our new schools, two new high schools, will be using more energy.
You have 1 minute, Ms. Coma.
Thank you. Than the old schools. And so that statement is incorrect in the report. And I just want to ask you about the generators. If Vets continues to be a designated Red Cross shelter and the two new high schools act as shelters, serve as shelters, do they all have generators at these planned shelters? So overall, I wasn't comfortable with the report because it put off too many things in the future. And when you need it, it's not going to be there in an emergency. So I was kind of disturbed to see the put off and that we haven't done enough already. And I'd like to see teamwork, a protocol set up for different teams taking care of different problem areas or issues in the city. And I don't really see that continuity and teamwork flow yet. It's kind of like you have kids
Time's
in your
up,
household.
Ms. Coma.
You want to have your emergency plan. Okay, you know, this is our code word we use. If we get separated, we're going to meet here.
Time.
Thank you. And I wish the city did more of that coordination. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. I hear a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
It is now 10:20 p.m. and the Intergovernmental Committee is now adjourned.
Thank you, Chairman. Next up, we'll go back into the Finance Committee.
The time is 10:21. The Warwick Finance Committee is back in session. We will pick up where we left off. We are now on item 15. Which is meeting the threshold of the 50,000. I will go to members of this committee, members of the council, members of the public, and I will find out if anyone has any items that they would like to discuss from the bid package, starting with the Finance Committee.
No, thank you.
Per request of the council president, I am going to request item number 37. That is bid 2025-118. Be put aside for discussion.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Are there any items that members of the council would like to pull for discussion? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Item number 16, 2023-440, analytical testing of water samples. Item number 17, 2025-114, purchase two vehicle lifts. Item number 18, 2025-114B, vehicle lift installation. Item number 19, 2025, sorry?
Number 19 was done, Councilman.
Oh, that's right, sorry, okay. Item number 20, 2025, 143, purchase of 8 solar-powered speed signs. No, actually, forget that. I already asked my question on that one before. Item number 23, 2025, 117, aerial and ground ladder service. Item 24, 2025, 116, generator maintenance. Item 25, 2024, 080, HVAC services. Item number 29, 2024, 162, various automotive parts. Item number 31, 2024, 067, fire apparatus, annual pumping. Item 33, 2025, 145, body repairs to RS-75. And that's all of them.
Are there any other items that members of the council would like to discuss? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I don't have my numbers, but it might be number 16.
Could you turn on your microphone, please?
2025-122, the purchase of roll-off carts, wheels, and lids.
Could someone please, I couldn't.
Item number 15.
Item number 15.
Okay.
The purchase of roll-off carts, wheels, and lids.
Thank you. Found on page 53. Was that all, Councilwoman?
Yeah, Ed took the other one.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other items members of the council? Are there any items that members of the public would like to pull for discussion from the bid package? Any items members of the public would like to pull from the bid package? Hearing none, we'll go in order. The first item is bid 2025-122, requested by Councilwoman Travis. This is found on page 53. It is the purchase rollout carts of wheels and lids. Director, you have the microphone. Councilwoman, you'll have the floor after he identifies.
Thank you.
Eric Earls, Public Works.
So, you got to talk? Oh, you're waiting for me to talk. Okay. I have a problem with, I know you're looking for more wheels, more lids, and the carts itself, but I have already sent in a couple of times where they drop these from high up. Is there a reason? Is there something wrong with the arm? I've seen it. I witnessed this. I took pictures. I sent them in. And even Saturday, my next door neighbor, and I saw it fall. And it doesn't fall low. It falls from high, falls, and there goes the lid right off the bucket.
It's possible it's something wrong with the arm. It's also possible that the driver's going too fast and, you know, trying to get his route done, not making excuses, but these are probably the things that could have happened. If you know specific dates and routes, then I can get that to the supervisor and make sure that any driver is, you know, doing it the way he's supposed to, because we do work hard on that. You know, we want him to put it down and place it so that people don't have to come and pick them up off the ground, never mind damaging them.
That's what I was worried about, the damage, and then we have to buy more. But I rode down Oakland Beach Avenue one day, and there were 6 on their sides that fell. I'm not saying all 6 were damaged, but I witnessed 2 one day just recently. But Saturday, I saw my neighbors, and that one, I went over to look, and it cracked. One corner of it cracked right off the top. I just wanted to bring it to your attention because, for you know, that's another almost close to $50,000 we've got to invest to get more. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Gebhardt.
I'll add to that. I just got a message yesterday from a resident that lives on Diamond Hill, and it's only recently, but like all up and down the street after pickup, all the bins are over. So I don't know if it's something that changed or it wasn't particularly windy that day. I didn't see anything that led to it, but definitely seems like something's going on.
Yeah, I can talk to the supervisor about that. It is the kind of thing that we've talked to the guys regularly about. You know, it's not, they shouldn't be doing it, right? They should take that extra half a second to put it back correctly, knowing that there are people out there that might struggle to pick them up. And yeah. I know that's also one of the mayor's pet peeves with the sanitation operation as well. So we've been on the guys, but every once in a while, I think they need a refresher on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions for members of this committee? Are there any further questions for members of the council? Are there any questions for members of the public? Thank you, Director. The next item is item number 16, bid 2023-440, analytical testing for water supplies. This is a rebid. This is requested by Councilman Lattiser. Director, after you identify, Councilman, you have the floor.
Thank you.
Identify again.
Just identify.
Eric Earls, Public Works.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Director, this extension is 75% more than the original bid, which is pretty excessive. And I guess my question is, who does the math on these things? I mean, it doesn't seem to be so difficult.
There's a reason. The reason that it's higher is that we're doing the lead service replacement throughout the city. So we're replacing people's lead services. So as a result of that, there's additional testing because after the service is replaced, you test there as well. So there's that. That's what makes it more, is that you have approximately 200 services in the city that are going to be replaced. Lead's being pulled out, different materials being placed in, and then after that's done, you have to sample. So that's why it's higher, to accommodate for that difference.
Good answer. I would suggest that, you know, perhaps next time that information be included in here in the first place, because it makes all the sense in the world. Thank you on that, Director.
Thank you. Any further questions for members of this committee? Questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Thank you. The next item is item number 17, bid 2025-114, purchase of two vehicle lifts. Director, please identify. Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Eric Earls, Public Works.
So I guess we can start off by asking, you know, this appropriation here, this was after your capital budget was put out, right? This comes out July 8th, 2024.
I believe these items were in the capital budget.
Okay, for the record, Councilman Gebhardt's checking it. Okay,
Councilman Gebhardt said he's checking.
He's the capital budget guy.
He said they are.
Yeah, there you go. For the two vehicle lifts, it was in there? Okay. But what wasn't in there, and thank you for qualifying that, Councilman Gebhardt. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, if I ask the question, I have the answer, right? So the bigger question, well, never mind. That'll go to the other part of this. So in this estimate that we have here right now for $42,954, I don't see anywheres in there where it speaks to installation and removal, which really stood out to me from a business perspective as to why that wasn't addressed in the first place, where you've got this item you're bidding on, you're requesting, which you need, but it seems to me that this item, as far as installation and removal, not being included in this, wasn't questioned in the first place, which would stop us from having this next bid item. Like, Director, the question is, who is reviewing these bids that come in? You put out a request for this item, and you get the number, but it doesn't include labor and installation, or it doesn't include freight, or it doesn't include poles, or it doesn't include whatever. And it's constantly having to come back to the city council for additional appropriations, and we need to have more money, and we need to spend more time on the council floor going over it. Who is reviewing these? Is there any type of a double check on this thing?
I'm not sure what your concern is. We have one for the purchase, and then part B is for the installation.
Yeah, I know. Part B comes after part A. So why wasn't it all in one item in part A? It looks to me like part B was an afterthought of part A.
It's possible. It's possible that we received the quote for the installation, and then when we found out that we needed them to do the install, otherwise it would void the warranty, that we went and we got the information for the install. I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly why it's two parts, but obviously we are addressing both of those issues tonight.
I understand that you're addressing both the issues, but I would think that this issue could have been addressed earlier. All set, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. Next is item number 18. This is 2025-114 Bravo vehicle lift installation. Director, and then Councilman Lattiser.
Eric Earls, Public Works.
So to my point earlier, the date on this original item was July 8th, 2024, and then July 16th is when it was discovered that, oh, we don't have the installation or the removal. So, you know, therein lies my point. The other question I have is, these other items, are they necessary? I know you have them scratched, or someone has them scratched off, and it's only holding in the $16,000 and the $37,000. Are any of these other items, are they going to be necessary for you to do this? The rolling jack, internal air lines, post vehicle, passenger vehicle adapter, ambulance adapter. We got a whole bunch of new ambulances, right? So would wide frame truck adapters, are you going to need any of those items?
If they are scratched off, then no, we would not need them.
You will not need them?
We will not need them.
Okay. So we shouldn't expect to have them come before us in the future. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions for members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? The next item. So I'm sorry, I might have put my notes wrong. I have it as Councilwoman Travis, but Councilman Lattiser, you requested item number 23, bid 2025-117,
yes,
correct?
Sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Aerial and ground ladder service inspection and testing. This is found on page 102, and the chief, after you identify Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor for your question.
Assistant Chief Jason Obenhauer, Fire Department.
Council.
Just bear with me 1 minute, please. I have a lot of notes here, like 10 pages, which is what happens when you get 48 bids in one night. So just have patience. I'll get there. Here it is. Okay, got it. So are you going to be using aerial only for the items that you don't have bids on?
No, so Lyft and Services, we've used for the last couple of years. They had the bid for the last 2 years. They haven't been very responsive to our requests for testing. They've given us months out of scheduled dates when we need our aerials and our ladders tested. They did eventually send somebody from Michigan to drive down to do our testing for us, so they're not very responsive to us. They are a little bit less expensive than the other vendor who submitted a bid. So we're requesting that both vendors be awarded. That way, if we get another delayed response from Lyft and Services that say we'll see you in 6 months, we have another vendor that we can default back to.
So what type of a notice do you give Lyft and Services that you need work? Or test? This is all testing, right?
It's so annual testing. This is so all. We test the same time every year, typically in the fall before the weather gets too cold.
So how much notice do you give them? Do you call them a week before, a month before, 3 months before?
If you award the bid tonight, we'll probably give them a call this week and request that it be done before the end of the year. And last year they weren't able to do that. We did it in the middle of the winter.
So you're saying that last year, in spite of them having a three-month notice, they're not able to respond?
They weren't able to respond until the middle of the winter, and even then they had to send somebody from Michigan to drive down to do the tests.
I see.
With a lot of excuses as to why that happened, so they are less expensive than the other vendor, so we're willing to at least award the bid to them, give them a chance to respond adequately as we would like. But if the same thing occurs again this current year, we would like another vendor on there that's local that we could call to get the test done, especially if we're waiting to put a truck back in service.
Right, right. So is there, and because there's quite a difference. You know, you go from 677 to 845.
Correct. That's why we didn't just go with the more expensive vendor.
That's a big difference.
It is a big difference.
And are you able to give them if a three-month notice doesn't work, is there any reason why you just can't tell them, say, tomorrow, say, hey, gang, you know, we need you down to station ABC to do XYZ testing by the end of January?
Yeah, we can give as much heads-up notice as long as we have spending authority and there's a bid in place. We can give them that as much heads-up notice as we can with the authority. The issue becomes when we have a truck. So anytime that any work is performed on any of these ladder trucks to the aerial part itself, they need to be retested before it's put back in service by the standard.
Okay.
So our issue is if I try to put a ladder back in service that had some ladder work done, I can't wait 4 months for them to come and have the truck out of service waiting for them. So we need another option.
Good point. All right. Thank you, Chairman.